I'm your host, Sophia, and this is Culture Crash Course. In today's podcast, we're going to be exploring Asia, with the main focus being on the religion of Islam. I'd like to firstly apologise for any mispronunciation of Arabic sayings or the names of people in Islam that I'm going to say during this podcast. Additionally, if I make any mistakes, please feel free to comment a correction for me in the comments. However, I've done extensive research into this topic, and therefore I hope that the majority of what I'm saying is correct. When researching for this podcast, I found six main areas of Islam, and I intend to teach you on each of these topics in this podcast. Firstly, I will teach you about the Muslim God, Allah. Allah is seen as a caring person and as the creator of the universe. Allah is seen to communicate with Muslims through the prophets. These three terms are examples of sayings that Muslims say which are associated with Allah. Inshallah means God willing, and it's often said when making a decision. This means that God is going to create the result to that decision. This means that whatever the outcome of this decision or action is God's willing. If this action goes well, or if the decision goes well, Muslims will often say, Mashallah. This means whatever Allah wills. Alhamdulillah is often heard, and this means thanks be to God. This can be said when anything happens. For example, if you're crossing a street and you stop and you nearly get hit by a car, people say Alhamdulillah, saying thanks be to God. In the Quran, God is known to have 99 names. Attached to each one of these names is a characteristic Allah wants Muslims to embody. Next, I will be speaking about the Holy Scripture of Islam. The Quran is known as the main book of Islam and the book of God, similar to the Bible in Christianity. It was made in the 17th century and has over 6,200 verses. It is God's way of communicating with his people. Muslims read and remember the Quran similar to how Christians recite verses from the Bible. They memorize the Bible as Muslims memorize the Quran. When learning all about the different religions, I began to see many similarities between the practices and the Holy Scriptures. The relationship between the Quran and the preceding book is that the Quran is seen as the final testament. It is also seen that the Christians' New Testament and the Jewish's Old Testament are the stories and the books that come before the Quran. This shows me the link between Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Therefore, the Quran is seen as a continuation of the other books that came before it. And I found that the basic message in the Psalms, the Torah, and the Gospel are very similar, and they all have the same basic message. This shows that although the religions are often put against each other, they often have very similar teachings. Moving on to the next topic is the prophets of Islam. These are seen as sinless people who are created by God to deliver his revelations. Prophets are seen as sinless, but they can make mistakes, which is often misunderstood. This means if the mistake is unintentional, it is accepted by God, so not seen as a sin. Examples of sins are being egotistical, losing your temper, or doing acts associated with Satan. When researching, I found that all of the prophets in Islam are actually male. As stated by Dr. Hassan in the video by Nottingham University, this is not because women are seen as less than men. And when I did further research into this and asked my tour guide at the Cambridge Central Mosque, he stated this about the role of women in Islam.
Hi, I would just like to apologise for the quality of the recording for the next section of this podcast, as I recorded this at the Central Mosque during my tour of the mosque, and I didn't want to bring in my microphone as I thought it may make other people on the tour uncomfortable. So I would advise you to raise your volume for this section of the podcast, as it will enable you to hear a bit better. Thank you.
Despite what Western media or any of the stories you might have heard have led you to believe, let me assure you that there is only one reason that women pray at the back of a prayer room. It has nothing to do with the hierarchical system, it's nothing to do with who's worth more and where they sit in the pecking order, nothing like that. Anything in Islam for women is by women. Right? Women of the time said, we want to be at the back of the prayer room. And why? Because part of the prayer, as we stand in these lines shoulder to shoulder, is going onto the ground and prostrating. And so women said, from a modesty and dignity perspective, look, we don't really want to be seen, so let us be at the back, which I think is pretty fair, right? There's nothing too untoward about that. That is the sole reason that women pray at the back of a prayer hall, by the way. For anyone who didn't know, there is nothing else to it. It is simply that. And if anything, the coveted position of a woman in Islam is so high that it would not ever even be in question. I'll give you one very small example. Islam teaches us that heaven, so the heaven that we all strive for, that we've been talking about since we, you know, stood in the garden, heaven lies at the feet of your mother. Don't really get a more coveted position than that. And if you are a Muslim, that is what you believe. There is nothing more that I can say that would prove to anyone that the position of a woman in Islam is elevated to such degrees than, of course, that. So, if you didn't know that, now you know.
That is now the ending of the recording that I took when at the Central Mosque. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to now move on to talking about the prophets again, and you may want to lower your volume.
There are 25 named prophets in the Quran, but it's believed that in the world, there are over tens of thousands in the world community. Even religious people from other religions, such as Jesus, are seen as prophets. The Prophet Muhammad is seen as a very important prophet, as he tells the last revelation of God, and therefore is the last prophet, as the prophet's job was to tell the revelations of God. He was around in the year 570 AD. At this time, the world was becoming more interconnected, and the revelation that was stated by Prophet Muhammad was God's last revelation. Now moving on to the last day, this part of the podcast will explain the Muslim belief of things that happen between death and going to hell or paradise. Please excuse my pronunciation, but Yawm al-Din is known as the Judgment Day in Islam. This is when God watches a movie-like version of the person's life, seeing all the sins and all the actions this person did during their life. The person that God is judging, or Allah is judging, also sees this run-through of their life so they can understand, see the sins they committed during their life, they can understand God's reason for the judgment. It is said that God showed his two hands during this judgment, and his right hand is seen as hell and the left hand is seen as heaven. You may be asking what Muslims see paradise as, and it is seen as undescribable. But the things that Muslims mostly look forward to in paradise, it's not paradise itself, but it's being in the presence of Allah. After the person has been judged, they have to pass the bridge to paradise, which is called Ashirat. This goes over hell. Those who are destined for hell will fall off this bridge. People who have less sins will move fastly over this bridge into paradise, and those who have more sins will move slowly into paradise, however they will still get there. When you are destined for hell, there is a way of getting into paradise. This is called intercession, or shafa'at, by the prophets. This is when the people who are going to hell plead with the prophets, and it goes through a chain of prophets and then goes to Jesus and then goes to Prophet Muhammad, who then negotiates with God and sees if God can reevaluate this person. However, it is ultimately God's choice, and he has the prerogative to whether this person goes to hell, as hell is seen as a place to cleanse Muslims of their sin, and is described as to have fire and jinn. Predestination is the next topic. This is God's knowledge of what your destiny is and the actions you will commit. However, it is known that Muslims have free will. So although you are chosen to have this path by God, you can pick whether to fulfill this path or choose a different one. For example, God gives you the genes to have these muscles. However, you can shape these muscles, grow them larger, or you could not shape the muscles and produce fat instead. The next part of this podcast is all about the angels of Islam. Angels are seen as the light and a great force of energy in Islam. There are four main angels which have armies of angels working for them. These includes Mikael, Archangel Gabriel, Israfil, and Israel. Again, I apologize for my pronunciation. These are seen to do God's work for God, as God has many jobs to do and is not capable of doing them all himself. The jinn are God's creations who have free will and intelligence. However, angels do not have free will. The difference between jinn and angels are that they are seen to be made out of fire, whereas angels are seen to be made out of light. Also, the jinn cannot be seen in a human form, whereas the angels can take human form. For example, the Archangel Gabriel went into human form to talk to the prophets. That is the end of the teaching of Islam for today. Next, I will move on to talking about Asian culture as a whole. I would like to explore the question, how does food link to culture? On a larger scale, food is an important part of culture. It also operates as an expression of cultural identity. Immigrants bring food from their culture with them wherever they go, and cooking traditional food is a way of preserving their culture when they move to a new place. The process of a meal, the preparation, creation, and eating can be a time for families to come together and often allow people to connect with their elderly family members or ancestors when learning the stories that connect to the meal. being made. Additionally, the process of eating can be done in many ways, specifically shown in the use of cutlery, knife and fork, chopsticks, or hands, as seen in the Philippines, are all different types of utensils used around the world. A fun fact that I have about chopsticks is the origins of chopsticks. Around 4,000 to 5,000 years ago in China, chopsticks were first made. They were made out of twigs, as they were the best item to reach into hot pots of oil and water. They began being used as utensils around 400 AD. The cause of chopsticks being introduced was due to a population boom across the country, which meant that food resources became very sparse. People cut their food into smaller pieces so that it would cook faster. Therefore, utensils like table knives were not seen as necessary as the food was already so small. The growth in the use of chopsticks was because they were easily made and were made by cheap materials. There were slight variations between the chopsticks created in each country. For example, chopsticks in Japan were originally used for just religious ceremonies. All the information about chopsticks was found on the Gizmondo website. To end this podcast off, I would like to recommend to you to go and look and follow the Cambridge Central Mosque Instagram account, which I have linked in the description of this podcast. They post about local Muslim Cambridge community, and most of the sermons are read in English from the minbar at communal prayer, which is led on Friday. Additionally, I would like to encourage you to learn a new language or even just practice some basic greetings. As we have spoken about Japan today, I am going to teach you the basic greetings in Japanese. Firstly, I'm going to teach you how to say good morning, which is ohayo. This is it said by Google Translate. This is how to say my name is Sophia. Obviously, insert your name when I say Sophia. Watashi no mahai na Sophia desu. To say do you speak English, you say eigo hanashimasu ka? And finally, this is how to say where is the train station? Eki wa doko desu ka? Obviously, my pronunciation is not the best, but hopefully people will be able to understand. Also, this is the whole saying on Google Translate altogether. If you would like to learn more, I would suggest you to download the Duolingo app or search duolingo.com on Google, because it is a very good resource to learn how to use to try and learn new languages. I have linked Duolingo in the description. By the way, any of the resources I have mentioned today, I was not paid to do so, and this is not a sponsorship. I just wanted to share my recommendations at the end of the podcast. That is it for today. I hope you've enjoyed learning about these topics. This podcast is not intended to teach you the whole of each religion. It's intended to spark your interest and teach you a little bit so you have a basic understanding, and you would then move forward with the resources that I provide and learn more by yourself. Again, I hope that I haven't made any mistakes. However, if I have, please comment a correction, or if you would like to expand on any points that I've made, feel free to expand upon them in the comments. I have been your host, Sophia, and this has been Culture Crash Course. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.